Please turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. This is one of the chapters that the Apostle Paul is thinking of as he writes to the Ephesians about the whole armor of God. And so may we read Isaiah 59. Looking out for the verses that ring true to Ephesians chapter 6. So let us hear God's precious word. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue mutters wickedness. No one enters suit justly. No one goes to law honestly. They rely on empty pleas. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and give birth to iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs. They weave the spider's web. He who eats their eggs dies. And from one that is crushed, a viper is hatched. Their webs will not serve as clothing. Men will not cover themselves with what they make. Their works are works of iniquity, and deeds of violence are in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in their highways. The ways of peace they do not know, and there is no justice in their paths. They have made their roads crooked. No one who treads on them knows peace. Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light and behold darkness. And for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at noon as if in twilight. Among those in full vigor, we are like dead men. We all growl like bears. We moan and moan like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none for salvation. But it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Transgressing and denying the Lord, and turning back from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart lying words. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth has stumbled in the public squares, and uprightness cannot enter. Truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, so will he repay wrath to his adversaries, repayment to his enemies. To the coastlands he will render payment. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. A Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon you, and my words that I put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, or out of the mouth of your offspring, or out of the mouths of your children's offspring, says the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word, we pray. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I did not know the ESV produced such massive Bibles. And as I stand here, approaching 40, I like this Bible. It has large text that is very readable. So maybe I'll give myself a birthday present for my 40th, a large Bible. That is for an older man. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. We'll read to verse 20. Our focus this morning is in verse 16. And then the first half of verse 17. So let us hear God's word. Finally, be strong in the Lord. And in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word, we pray, and the preaching of the same. Please keep your Bible open at our passage, Ephesians 6, and we consider this morning, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation. Dear Trinity Church family, verse 10 of Ephesians 6 reads, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." And the Apostle Paul to drive home the message of that verse 10, he then gives, probably, as we've just said, one of the most famous illustrations in the whole of the Bible, the whole armor of God. But the thing we are to note is that this illustration is all about verse 10. It is the hook that he hangs all of the whole armor of God on. And if we forget it, the illustration is next to useless to us. We don't get what is illustrated. We don't get what he is teaching. And he's teaching verse 10. He's teaching what it means to be in the Lord, in his strength, in his wisdom. He's teaching us about the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's teaching about what it means to be united to Christ in our life now as we await our Savior's return. And that is how, brothers and sisters, we have his strength and his wisdom at our disposal as we seek to live for him. And this morning, we consider numbers 4 and 5 of the armor of God. And as we sit here approaching to look at the detail of our passage, may we know that the reality of our lives, if we do anything of worth in this life, eternally of worth, if we do anything that would please the Lord, anything that is right ever at all in our life, we are to be living and breathing in the Lord. Those three words, the hook that our passage is hanging off, the hook that we're not to forget. Whatever we're doing, enduring the attacks of Satan, reading our Bible, raising our kids, praying to God, trying to tell people about the Lord Jesus, mourning for the death of our loved ones, or simply just trying to love our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. And there's actually nothing simple about any of what we have just said, because if we're doing it right, it is all in the Lord. It's all part of his miraculous gifting from heaven above through the Holy Spirit who now dwells in us. And so then to the meat of our passage. We're to see that every single part of the life for the believer, it's all part of this beautiful military picture here, every single part. And if there are parts of your life that aren't included here, those parts of your life shouldn't be part of your life. It's all about us putting his armor on and never taking it off. Us putting his armor on and now living for Christ and never taking it off. And that armor picturing the very gift of the Holy Spirit and all that we have through the Lord Jesus. And you may have noticed me calling it his armor there. And why do we call it his armor? It's because Apostle Paul, he's not just imagining a fully kitted out Roman soldier. He's chained to a Roman soldier. This is part of the prison epistles. He's chained to a Roman soldier, but he's not just imagining a fully kitted out Roman soldier. Something that's often overlooked. He's quoting, as he often does, from the Old Testament. And he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 11 and Isaiah chapter 49 and chapter 59, like we read. And who is he quoting about? He's quoting about heaven's holy victorious warrior. He's quoting passages that relate to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And from that, we see Paul is talking in picture form about how we are united to Christ and all of his victorious works. We put them on as our clothing, as our armor. Now, if you're doubting this teaching, which I pray you're not, but to make it more clear, John Stott summarizes this very well. In the Old Testament, it is God himself, the Lord of hosts, who is pictured as a warrior fighting to vindicate his people. For example, in Isaiah 59 and verse 17, we read, and this is one of the verses the Apostle Paul is referring to, of course, He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And Stott concludes, still today, the armor and weapons are his, but now he shares them with us. He has won the right for little us to don them on and to fight for him. And brothers and sisters, this is a whole side of the armor of God that is often missed. It is his armor. And so that's what we're studying this morning, the fully armed Christian, and we'll take that as our title this morning and this evening as we look at the next piece this evening. But surely we come this morning to one of the most famous pieces of armor here in our first point, the fourth piece of kit. And do you know it? The fourth piece of kit. It would be good to memorize them. Know what you're wearing. Number one, his belt of truth. Number two, his breastplate of righteousness. Number three, his shoes, or more likely his boots of readiness given by the gospel of peace. And number four, our first point, his shield of faith. His shield of faith. And we'll read again verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. In all circumstances. Or as the King James has it, above all. Either way, we're to see that this is an important one. This is the shield in reality that we're never to put down. And with the type of shield Paul mentions here, it makes it clear that he does have a fully kitted out Roman soldier in mind, as well as Isaiah's holy heavenly warrior. But what type of Roman shield here are we talking about? Well, this is one of the big ones that history tells us was 4 feet tall, 2.5 feet wide, or for you metric lovers, 120 centimeters tall by 75 centimeters wide. And from those measurements, you can see why the Greek word in our passage for the type of shield that it is gate or door. This was a door shield. The thing was so big that you could stand behind it and fight. And also, what this Roman shield is most famous for, like you'll all have seen most likely in the movies, was the formation that was called, I know there are some Latin scholars here, so apologies in advance. The formation is called the Testudo formation. And that Latin word that was butchered by me, the Testudo, in English, what might that be, children? Oh, I heard turtle. Take that on land and you've got it. Tortoise. Yeah, the tortoise formation. The wall in front of the Roman soldiers made up with these shields lined up all in formation. And then the roof over those Roman legions used in battle and sieges and the like. And that was the Testudo formation. And that actually, it's not what we're going to focus on this morning, but that actually could be very much part of the teaching here. Are we to be standing alone as faithful soldiers? No. Even when we are alone, we stand together in the Lord. Ephesians 4, verse 4 to 5. In our one shared faith, in our one Savior, through the one Spirit, and so on. But just one more thing to say about this shield. This Roman shield was designed to be able to put out what? Fire. It was designed correct. Flaming darts, or as we would say, arrows. The Greek is inclusive of any sort of missile. The shield was, you'd wonder how they could carry it. The shield was made up of two layers of wood glued together, then covered with a layer of linen, and then a layer of leather over that, and doused in some form of wet coating. It was designed to put out flaming darts. And what a beautiful thought it is, dear brothers and sisters, that so is ours. Ours is designed to put out flaming darts also. All the flaming darts of the evil one. Your shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Now, we'll pause here for a second just to make sure we're on the right track. Stuart Olliott says in his commentary in Ephesians, faith is the Christian's shield. Try to let that settle in your mind. Faith is the Christian's shield. And I quote him just to make sure that we are all understanding the picture that we have, all that we have spiritually. Sometimes we confuse ourselves and focus on the picture rather than what is pictured. And that is why the Stuart Olliott's very succinct summary, faith is the Christian shield. But what he says about it is all the more helpful. Faith is the Christian shield. The devil can do nothing against it. His worst attacks are frustrated. Faith offers complete protection and makes advance. Faith offers complete protection and makes advance possible. Where there is faith, there is nothing to fear. And what is faith? It is believing what God has said for no other reason than he has said it. It is taking God at his word. It is accepting his teaching, obeying his commands, heeding his threats, and laying hold of his promises. Where there is faith, defeat is unknown. The soldier who has it is never floored by anything. Faith is invincible. And brothers and sisters, why is the Christian's faith invincible? Because and only because of who we have faith in. Just like we sang and drew our covenant children's attention to. We sang, the Lord is my strength and my shield. The Lord is my shield. That's a big shield. He's the one who protects us. Nothing is coming past that door. Shield. He is the one who totally protects our lives spiritually here as we wait for him in the darkness to return. He's the one we have faith in. And even that little or large insight into this spiritual picture, he is our shield. If any of you have ever had the benefit of a big brother going to the same school as you, and I'm not just saying this now because we're homeschoolers now, but a good few times my brother stood up for, if you can imagine it, little me. And all that my brothers, who are now considerably less in weight than I am, but that aside, all that my brothers had to say was, that's my wee brother. And the bother at school would stop. And simply because they were massive in comparison to the rest of my classmates. And I don't think it actually ever happened like this, but our picture here of our loving God being our shield, that is that little boy, me, hid behind my brother and my big brother standing over me, protecting me. And remember what we're thinking about here. He, the Lord God, is our protector and our helper, our shield. He is standing in front of us. And what is he saying? That's my son. That's my daughter, whom I love. You're not getting out of him. You're not touching her. Not one of your flaming darts. Faith is the Christian's shield, our faith in God. Believing he is who he says he is, and he will promise. He will do as he's promised to do. What a shield. Infinitely greater than having a big brother or two at school. We have a God, our God, who we love and who is our protecting Heavenly Father. We have as our God, Isaiah 45 verse 15, to him, behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as dust on the scales. All the nations. Any of you rather concerned by anything you hear in the news? Any of you rather concerned as you scroll, 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 or click, click, click about the state of our little planet? Well, it's always been that way, dear brothers and sisters. But who has all of the nations and considers them as a drop in the bucket? There is nothing to him. According to him, they are as dust on a scale. They don't measure up to anything. All the nations to us, no matter how they plan and whatever, they all seem so powerful to us. All the millions and millions of people and governments and vast armies, all included, nuclear weapons, the lot. But behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as dust on the scales. They shouldn't cause us one anxious thought. Not one. Dear believers, any anxious thoughts? If we are fearing our situation, whatever in our lives, job worries, money worries, family worries, sickness worries, parenting worries, mental health worries, and on we could go. Whatever it is, if we are fearing our situation, what have we forgotten? Our God. And these are some of the only lines of attack for Satan, our enemy. If faith in God is our shield, what's his only line of attack? He wants us, even for a moment, to get us to lay our shield down. Loosen our grip on it just a little bit. And maybe that's why the Apostle Paul says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Don't set your shield down. Satan, the evil one, will try to make us forget God, his promises, or his goodness, or his forgiveness. He will try to cause us to doubt his beautiful eternal ways. And brothers and sisters, I'm sure you have heard this many times before, and it's because it's true. The only two options that you have in the Christian life, faith or fear. That's it. Only two. Fear the situation, whatever it is that you're in. Fear the situation that's coming Monday morning or Tuesday morning. Whatever you're concerned about during the week, fear that, or have faith in God. Have faith in him. Really believing God is who he says he is, and he will do all he has promised to do. He really is holy, holy, holy. He really is all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal. He really is love. He really has, from all eternity past, planned to save people as his own, and nothing or no one can snatch them out of his hand. The same hand that is able, another verse from Isaiah 40, verse 12, he's able to measure the waters in the hollow of his hand and mark off the heavens with a span. Do we forget the greatness of our God? He speaks to us in picture language to remind us. All the waters in the hollow of his hand. And the same hand that is able to mark off the heavens with a span. Span. Of your hand. His is able to measure all those light years that we see represented to us in the heavens above. And boy, do I love the stars, but we'll not get distracted by that. We'll focus on the span of a hand. My little daughter, Lily, sitting in the middle there, was learning about something a fair few months back. She's learning about measuring things with a hand span. And I think it was her table was 20 of her lovely little hand spans and 7 of mine. And dear friends, we see even the kindness of our God to speak to us in our own little words so that we have a little understanding
of these great, inconceivable things, incomprehensible. Does he have hands? No. God is a spirit and has not a body like man. But kindly, he speaks to us in language so that by faith in him we can hold on to the very small fraction of the awesomeness of God that has been revealed to us in his word and in his creation. What fraction of his power do you know? What fraction of his power do you know? His might, his strength. My breath is taken away when I see a big wave. The power of it. It's immense, I think. My breath is also taken away when I see and hear big waterfalls. And relatively speaking, in comparison to the actual big waterfalls of the world, I have not seen a big waterfall. Maybe some of you have. But nevertheless, I am in wonder at his power. And what are we talking about? We are talking about the demonstration of his power in the tiny little dot of a planet that we live on. The pale blue dot that hangs in the ray of sun. If you don't know, Google that. It's good for getting things in perspective. We dwell on the pale blue dot. And on the pale blue dot, we see tiny little demonstrations of the power that is our God, infinite power. And he is the one, remember, Isaiah 40, verse 12, who has marked off the heavens with the span of his hand. And little us, we faithfully are to think of the size of his hand, therefore, and to join the dots and think, what size is he then, if that's the span of his hand? Brothers and sisters, what is the attribute that's a whole lot more impressive than his power or his might? It's the one word that he calls himself. This is who our God is. 1 John 4:8, God is love. In all our never-ending eternity in heaven, this is what will take our breath away more than anything else, day after day after day. Yes, we'll be impressed, to say the least, at the recreation of his word, and we'll be able to hug a lion and so on and go play with snakes. No danger. Prophet Isaiah tells us too. But day after day after day after day, what will take our breath away more than anything else is love. The power of his love. The beauty of his love. The depth of his love. The sheer extent of his love purchased by the blood his only son. Brothers and sisters, this is why Stuart Olliott says faith is invincible, because of who we have faith in. And always, always, always in life, either we are remembering our God and his power and his wisdom and his love, infinite, eternal, all, and therefore not fearing our situation, no matter how bad it looks to our eyes or to our brains, or we're forgetting our God, and foolishly, therefore, we are finding ourselves fearing our situation. And dear brothers and sisters, that is when we find ourselves doing very foolish things indeed. That's when we find ourselves saying very foolish things, because we've loosened our grip on our shield of faith. Now, dear brothers and sisters, we do need to be careful with this teaching in all the fighting talk. It's very easy to get the wrong idea about faith. Faith is believing. Faith is trusting that God is who he says he is, and he will do and will do all he's promised to do. And the wrong idea of that would be us thinking we need to whip up enough spiritual strength in us so that we can hold on to all that God has granted to us in Christ. And why is that wrong? Well, it's because we don't have any strength of our own, and we are simply to believe the Lord. We are to believe the Lord God in Christ. He has given all that we need forever and ever. Even the faith we need to believe, Ephesians 2:8. He's given even that too. You know, brothers and sisters, how at peace we should therefore be in our lives, whatever we're going through, whatever the Lord asks of us, whatever flaming darts he permits the devil to fire. So, that was his shield of faith. Now let's look at, in closing, a little more briefly, his helmet of salvation. And note again here, this is one of the other items of armor that Christ is prophesied to wear along with his breastplate of righteousness. Isaiah 59 and verse 17, he put on righteousness as a brass piece and a helmet of salvation on his head. Now, to state the obvious, we have as the item of armor here, the item that protects our head. And therefore, spiritually speaking, what? Our minds, our inner thoughts. And what's the only all-inclusive truth that will protect our minds from Satan's attacks? That will protect our thoughts from whatever pops into our little heads. What is the only truth? Our salvation. The Lord's salvation that he has granted to us, and therefore our helmet's name. It is the helmet of salvation. And dear believers, in our study, the question I think that will help settle this teaching in our mind, it may sound like an odd question, but the question is, do we look saved? Do we look saved? Do we look like we are enjoying the eternal life that has been given to us? Do we look like a saved, immeasurably blessed child of God? No. Not at all. We don't. But we are. And about this, John Calvin said in his usual cheery manner, he says, "For we do not see the reward that we are promised, but rather we see a host of troubles, combats, and sorrows. In short, we seem to be the most miserable creatures in the world." Lovely. But are we? Are we the most miserable creatures in the world? We're the only ones who know joy. We appear that way, but no. And why do we know joy? Why can we have joy? No matter what arrows are fired, or no matter what ammunition is used against us, because of the helmet of our salvation. Because of what we know to be spiritually true in our lives. And remember, don't focus on the picture, focus on what is pictured. Your salvation. A great passage to summarize this teaching. 1 Peter 1, 3-5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." That's what the big books call the already and the not yet of the kingdom. Meaning, what has already happened, we are fully saved and forever, but what has not already happened, we are not fully seeing all and experiencing all that has been given to us. Brothers and sisters, remember to focus on what's being pictured and not on the picture. We are thinking here about our salvation being our helmet. And by the power of the Spirit, we are to know that we are saved out of this darkness, therefore, and we are left here for a little while, as we were singing about and praying about. And therefore, we are to know too, because of our salvation, which is our helmet, 2 Corinthians 4:17, this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Whatever is causing us pain in our life, we're to know, we're to consider it light, and we're to know it's all part of our salvation. Pain caused by the sin of others, pain caused by the sin of ourselves, pain caused by normal life in this fallen world, we are to know it's all part of my salvation. Now, as I look before me, I see happy Christian people, but what do I not see? I see no perfect marriage in front of me. Some of you appear to be rather close, but no perfect marriage at all. I do not even see a perfect church family here. Far from, you would say, without hesitation. And dear friends, whatever blessing that we have in our life, we know that it is tainted by sin. We know that we are waiting to see our salvation fully displayed to us in our eternity, and we are enduring the sin that causes the world to groan under its weight. And so no matter what blessings, however sweet, they will be blessings mixed with pain. But dear friends, that is to be no problem to us because it is all part of our salvation. I heard the announcement of a little newborn born on Thursday. Ours was born on Wednesday. Newborns, if they are behaving normally, they cause rather a lot of pain. Worse, I would say, than the torture sent by your enemy sometimes. Sleep deprivation, psychological mind games, noise pollution, sound trauma. Just so you know, I've read out some of what the CIA are accused of using in their torture tactics. Same granted to you by a newborn. And whatever blessing we have, newborns, a marriage, a church family, a job, anything that could cause you light momentary affliction, what are we to know? We need to have our helmet on to enjoy it at all. We need to have our helmet on. Or to put it another way, we need to know that our God is so great and so loving, it's all part of Him saving us. Whatever is part of our life, whatever you have endured, and some of you have endured enormous times of suffering. And what are you to sit there knowing? Praise you, because it's all part of you saving us. Because our God is eternal and almighty, and we are to know that literally everything and anything that happens in our life, big or small, happy or sad, joyful or painful, pleasuresome or toilsome, the Lord, our almighty Lord God, is bringing it all about for our salvation. And therefore, for His eternal praise. And if you're struggling to align these truths in your lives, focus on that last truth, His eternal praise. Whatever you are struggling to have faith in Him through, whatever in your life is causing you pain that you find too much to bear, you are to know that in eternity as a believer, you will be thanking Him for it. You will be praising Him for putting you through whatever you are going through. And dear friends, how and only how will we go through it well? If we have our helmet on, His helmet of salvation, His helmet of salvation that He wore before us. And as we looked at to begin, His shield of faith too that He wore before us. And dear friends, just as we close here, think of all that was hurled at His shield and at His helmet as our Savior walked here on His earth. Think of all that was hurled at that shield and that helmet. Now, We just thought there briefly about how we don't look saved. Forgive the question, I hope you understand it, but what did he not look like? What did he, the very Son of God, not look like? Did he look like the creator of the world when he was here on earth and he was enduring his agonies? That is who he was and is. And as we go to the cross, ask, what did he not look like there? Did he look loved by his Father? Certainly not. Did he look wise, strong, victorious? Far from. Hebrews 5:7, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him, his salvation, to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. God the Son trusted his Father to bring him through death. He kept a shield on, shield of faith on, and his helmet of salvation on, knowing what the plan was, knowing who his Father was, knowing that the plan that had always been from all eternity past. And the Lord Jesus therefore fulfills the words that we'll sing in closing, Psalm 16, verse 8 to 11. He fulfills them perfectly. I have sat the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We're hearing the truths of what he was crying out in pain to his Father on the cross. And may we, brothers and sisters, with our shield and our helmet that he has given to us, may we walk, therefore, faithfully in the paths that he has already in all eternity past planned for us, no matter what the Lord our God asks of us, because we have his Son's armor on. May we faithfully and trustingly walk, therefore, until we see him return. Amen.